Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.com. The following is a message from Jones Family Farms. Jones Family Farms is a 400-acre working farm offering quality agricultural products all year round, from fresh summer berries to Christmas trees in the winter, and an award-winning winery that is open from April to December. The reach of the Jones Family Farms is hard to capture, from their advocacy work through the Working Lands Alliance to ongoing classes in the Harvest Kitchen. Jones Family Farms is as passionate about education as it is about farming. Whether you're picking fresh strawberries or exploring local wines, we hope you're inspired to learn more about Connecticut farming. Visit www.jonesfamilyfarms.com for more information.
Listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio in Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And today I'm joined by Luke Carl, a man of many things. Let's see if I can get everything crammed in here. Let's see, a bartender, rock and roll drummer, marathon runner, radio host, party animal, and you have the best hair of anyone that I know. Probably.
Thank you.
So thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
Well, yeah, and you're also, you've got a blog called The Drunk Diet. You're very busy, and you just celebrated the opening of Ludlow Manor, so congrats.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I have about 8 part-time jobs,
of
which are kind of full-time.
It's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
I think I left out you're an expert at tacos, probably.
Yeah, used to be. That's my alma mater. Yeah, I got my start in the taco business when I was like 21.
What's your favorite taco?
My favorite,
all time.
I don't know. I was just in Fort Lauderdale like 2 days ago, and we went to this, we just stumbled across this like dive bar that had dollar tacos, and they had an entire wall of hot sauce. Like a cabinet of hot sauce, and me and my buddy, you know, I'm hot sauce freak. So I picked out like 4 of them. And these tacos were tiny, so I ordered like 8 tacos, right? So I wanted like different sauce for every second one or third one. And as soon as the bartender, because the bartender was the waitress, this place was a dump. She brought over the tacos, and she said, no. We keep the good sauces behind the bar because we don't want people stealing them. So this one of them was so good that I literally went to their website right there on my phone and ordered 3 bottles of it on the website.
What is it?
I don't remember what it was called. I'll let you know when it comes. Something conch. I can probably I'll look it up on the break. But some conch something, and it was homegrown there. It was from Key West, I think.
What is it, like a habanero?
No, it was like, I'm not really into like super spicy. I like flavor. And I like to be able to pour it on. You know what I mean? I don't want just like drops. So like, what's the big red one?
Tabasco?
No, the one with the rooster on it. Never mind. We'll come.
Oh, sriracha.
Yeah, that's too hot. It's too much.
Totally.
I like to be able to pour it on. But this one was so good that, I'll have to look up the name of it. It was good. And I just PayPal'd it right there. That's the way a business should be.
Technology,
you know, especially
a small
business. Yeah, it's great.
Totally. Well, so, all right, you...
Tacos.
I kind of want one right now, thanks to you. So you were a bartender, and you kind of got addicted to marathon running.
Well, you know, I started at... I've been working in the Lower East Side of Manhattan since 2002. I turned 22, 21, and I moved here from the cornfield of Nebraska. And I started working at a taco shop, literally, with a bar, and it was open until like 5 in the morning. And then I just worked my way up in the neighborhood, bartending job after bartending job, and then I started managing a place, and then I got asked to be part owner of a place. And somewhere in there I got fat. And well, my Midwestern blood it's kind of, you know, it's just genetics, really, to become fat at some point when you're in your mid to, well, probably 30-ish, you know, late 20s, early 30s. And my father being 300 and some odd pounds, it's just a genetic thing, you know, all Midwesterners, and not just the Midwest, but lots of parts of all over the world. You just get fat when you get older, and, you know, I was eating too much, and one day I just kind of picked up running, and stopped eating like crap. Is this, can I cuss? No.
Yeah,
all
sure.
Right. Just, I won't, but I just wanted to check. it's less pressure. Yeah, and then I started reading books about it and like trying to get into shape, and all the while owning my own bar and being up till 6 a.m. dealing with drunk people and being drunk myself and eating, you know, like huge roast beef sandwiches at 6 a.m. And I just woke up one day, literally, it just like happened. I just woke up and I was like, you know what, dude, I don't want to be like this anymore. And I started changing one thing at a time, and I read more books and more books and tried to educate myself, because I figure if you want to be a brain surgeon, the best way to do it is to go to school. So I was like homeschooling myself on how to become healthier, which honestly, my only goal was to become sexier. I wasn't worried about, I don't really care about like, it wasn't about like living longer, or, you know, like I was 27, 28 at the time. And it wasn't like about where, you know, a doctor said, hey, you're going to have a heart attack or anything like that. It was just, I just wanted to be sexier, really. And
what do you define as sexy?
I think it's a feeling, an emotion, really, more than it is anything. I mean, when I, for women, for instance, if I look at a girl and she carries herself in a certain way, or she has a certain attitude, the way she looks around a room, that's sexy. It has nothing to do with abs or, you know, like triceps to me at all. It just depends. It just, you know, if somebody's comfortable in their own skin, then their skin becomes sexy to the other person that's observing, you know, but,
Confidence,
absolutely, but not to the point where it's annoying and it's overcompensation for the fact that they're probably miserable. You know, it's a fine line between, you know, the two things. But I just decided that if I wanted to lose weight, the best way to do it was to run. And I was also lifting weights and all this at the same time, and changing things about my diet, which was, of course, the biggest factor was the diet. I just cut out. The biggest thing was I cut out like eating at night, and of course I kept weird hours. So this doesn't really necessarily apply to the normal, quote unquote, normal person. But, you know, I just kind of cut out that 6 a.m. sandwich or whatever the hell when I was wasted home on my way home with the sun coming up, you know, and you already feel hungover and nasty. And it's not really that great of a way to live your life to begin with, bartending. But it's, you know, it's awesome when you're 25 and single and you don't give a shit. But, yeah, and then now, I mean, fast forward to now, I run marathons, and marathon is such an intimidating word. I'd prefer to say long distance running, you know, whatever, because that word is just so, like, to the layperson or, you know, to a non-runner, it's like, what does that even mean, you know? And I don't really have like to explain the whole thing, because it's very personal for me. Running is very personal, and it's also very selfish. And I'm not, you know, I'm doing it for me, and nobody else even really cares or understands it unless they happen to be a runner. And then most likely their running etiquette is going to be completely different than mine, and the amount of miles per day or week or month are going to be completely different. So I think of running as almost like it's a very, you know, it's intimate. It's like it's a relationship. It's almost like a woman that I love and I cherish, and she takes care of me, you know.
Well, so, all right, I want you to walk me through how you went from, first of all, how did you resist that 6 a.m. sandwich?
I wrote a book about it too, about the whole thing, because all those books that I was reading at the time to educate myself, I literally went to the Barnes & Noble in my neighborhood, and I read every single book in the health section. And first of all, any book that's targeted towards men is put out by Men's Health, and they seem to have like a formula. It's almost like a factory, these books they're putting out. And then there are running specific books that are different and not necessarily a factory, but it's usually a guy talking about his personal life, and he usually goes into how he did some Iron Man and this and that, and it's just not relatable to a normal guy like a bartender, you know, or a construction worker or whatever you might happen to be. dieting is very intimidating for men in the first place. It's definitely not something that's geared towards the male of the species. It's almost an effeminate thing, really, and it's almost like, oh, you're on a diet? What kind of wimp are you? You know, it's just... It's society as a whole just thinks that man is programmed to be the king of the jungle, and we are programmed that way by God or whoever you happen to believe in, put the human race on the earth. Our DNA carries that, whatever it is, that says, hey man, I gotta go out and kill my dinner and I'm gonna eat as much of it as I can. But this is going back to, you know, prehistoric man, and this is almost 2012 now, and things are different, you know, and our bodies aren't genetically necessarily programmed that way anymore, because we drive cars and there's subways and shit like that, so we don't have to have that fuel to get us from point A to point B, and the ultimate goal of procreating with our woman who's at home waiting for us to bring our food. You know, obviously going back to prehistoric, I don't want to sound like a bigot or anything like that, but that's the way we were genetically programmed. So now it's like, it still carries on to this day. The dieting is, even the word diet is difficult for men to say. It's hard for them to get it to come out of their mouth at some, you know, for certain guys. And I think it's important for men to realize that it's not about dieting. It's about happiness, you know, and that's what it was for me. I wasn't happy. So I just went out there and I said, what am I going to have to do to change this? And yeah, I dropped all the weight and it's still just a daily battle, you know, and that's where running comes in, because for me personally, and I'm not shoving running down anybody's throat. I don't even necessarily suggest it to anybody. What I do suggest is find your run, you know, find your running, find what it is that is missing. If nothing's missing, God bless you. But I think there's always something that, you know, we wake up in the morning and it's like, you know, and not, we might not even necessarily know that it's missing, because I didn't know that I was going to fall in love with running, you know? It's like a complete fluke, but it just happened that way.
What did you grow up eating?
Crap. I mean, I'm from the Midwest, so, you know, and once again, it's not just a Midwestern thing. You go down to the South, and it's like barbecue ribs every night, literally. And but my folks are definitely not the healthiest people. They both have diabetes, and to me, it's, they did it to themselves. Diabetes is such a weird thing, you know, and I think our government 100% promotes diabetes in the form of fake sugar and everything you eat, and like, you know, and being from Nebraska, corn is such a huge thing, and they said, okay, if you want me to sign, if Congress, and now I'm going to get into my conspiracy theories, but Congress says, okay, if you want to sign this bill, if you want me to sign this bill, you know, like the congressman from Iowa, he says, if you want me to sign this bill that says you're going to import X amount of whatever from Japan, then you have to buy more corn from me, and you better figure out what you're going to do with that corn. So they figured out, you know, how to turn it into sugar, and at the time when they came out with quote-unquote high fructose corn syrup, and now they're calling it corn sugar. At the time, it was, you know, they had to import sugar, cane sugar from other countries, so that made it even more expensive. Now we have the means to basically produce as much cane sugar as we need, because mainly because we don't need as much as we used to. But you know, so they make this fake sugar that is not even a natural substance, and the cells in our bodies don't even understand quite how to process it. And then, boom, 10, 15 years of eating that crap and drinking soda. I don't want to, like, you know, bring down any major corporations, but you know what I'm talking about. After 20, 30 years of that, boom, your cells have mutated and you have diabetes. So I grew up eating like crap, really, you know, like steak every night. And there's nothing wrong with steak. It's just, you got to take it easy. You need the iron. You know, I balance out my diet these days, and I have to have X amount this and there, and just to maintain my running. But anyway, go ahead, because I'll keep going.
Well, we have a lot more to talk about. We're going to, after the break, we're going to get into drinking through the holidays with you.
Man.
And if you've got a question for Luke Carl about how to stay fit throughout the holiday season, you can call us at the station at 718-497-2128. You're listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. Keep it locked.
We'll be right back.
Should I let you talk?
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to You to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I am still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm joined today by Luke Carl, the man with about 10 different titles, but most importantly, a knowledgeable man on how to keep it sexy while drinking. Before the break, we were talking about marathon running and a whole bunch of things, but I want to shift and talk about the holidays, because let's face it, I mean, November in New York to me is kind of like Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Like, people go crazy and they love the holiday parties, and every week there's like some crazy thing to do, and there's appetizers, there's lots of booze, there's eggnog, there's, I find myself right now feeling like I should wear sweatpants. So I want to know, what are we going to do? How can we keep it sexy through the holidays?
It's very difficult, you know, and I don't necessarily know that I have all the answers. I drink an absurd amount on a daily basis without the holidays, you know, and then when the holidays come around, it's the stress, and especially when I go visit my family, and it's a very, very difficult thing. I have a few different pointers as far as the eating is concerned, especially if you have like multiple families, you know, like Christmas and Thanksgiving or holiday dinners, and you end up having to eat three times in one day, you know. So I mean, there's a few different things that I try to maintain in my brain. It doesn't always necessarily work that way. I try to, like, you know, even if I have a huge plate of food in front of me, just like take one fork full of each thing and that's it, you know, and be conscious of it. And like, okay, I already had my mashed potatoes, even though they're right there in front of you, you know, just try and carry on a conversation with your crazy Uncle Mike, and who's probably more drunk than you anyway. And he is, that's the thing about families, is that no matter how crazy or drunk or whatever you are, somebody else in your family will be more so of everything that you are. So, you know, that's the good part about it, I suppose. But the main thing is, in my mind, is how miserable do I want to be come January 2nd? Because that's when it all adds up and you're back to your normal life. And all of a sudden you're like, oh man, what happened? You know, you don't even know what happened. So the main thing is just kind of repeat that in your brain. For myself anyway, I was just like, January 2nd. And that's not even a New Year's resolution. I don't believe in that crap. If you want to change something, just change it. But so I just repeat that, January 2nd, January 3rd, you know, and try to maintain some sort of level of control.
Totally. Well, I mean, how can you do that and still enjoy yourself? Like, do you say no to beer? What do you compromise on? What are some things, like, maybe don't drink eggnog or...
Ooh, eggnog. You know? I mean, I personally, I don't do any kind of dairy. There's not a whole lot of dairy involved in holiday meals anyway, other than the desserts, you know. But beer is very... It's a difficult thing to handle, because one beer is like eating a slice of chocolate cake, really, if you think about it, the amount of carbs that are involved and the amount of sugar that's involved in a beer. But it just goes down so smooth, and it's just such a, you know, like a way to unwind after work or with the family, you know. And personally, if I feel like I've had too much beer, I just kind of feel it out. And if I feel like I've had too much beer, but I still want to keep drinking, I'll just switch to any kind of, well, my particular favorite is whiskey. I like Jameson whiskey. And I'll just drink that on the rocks with some soda water. And there's no carbs involved in that at all. Of course, you're still going to have this, you know, a few calories, and it's definitely not good for your body in any means, but it's a decent way to control the bulge, because most of the bulge, like the especially the immediate bulge and not the long-term like fatness, is caused by carbs. An enormous amount of intake of carbs at one time causes that quote unquote beer gut, which you can have that even if you're a shredded guy with abs, you know. It just comes if you eat too many carbs. So if I feel like I've had too many carbs, which are the devil, really, I'll just switch to like a whiskey and soda and keep that rolling. If I, you know, it depends. If I want to keep getting drunk through the night, just stick with that, you know.
So the next day you wake up, and then what's the workout? Like, this I'm talking about for the holidays, because you want to go easy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll be for Christmas weekend or whatever, that I guess it's on a Saturday this year. I have to plan it out already, you know. I'll be at my folks' house in the middle of the cornfield that I grew up in, and the only way I can work out is to run. And I have absolutely no problem running in the snow. I much prefer running in the snow than running in any sort of heat whatsoever. But so I'll just leave the house. And it's also a good way to get out of the house and leave your mom's questions and your dad's bitching. Can I say bitching? Your dad's bitching and your brother's girlfriend's like trying to, you know, and it's like the family's, and Brianna, I love you. I'm sorry, my brother's girlfriend, but it's a good way to get the hell out of the house. And it was weird for me when I first started running a few years ago, because I'd come home and my family is all rather large, and they would look at me like a crazy person because I was running. Like, you know, it's, they didn't understand it. But now they're used to it, and they've been to several of my races and annoyed the hell out of me and cheered me on. And now they know to accept, Luke's going to go run today. No big deal. He's not like in a bad mood or anything like that. It's what he does, you know? So it did take a few years for my old fashioned Midwestern family to get used to it. But you know what? The thing is about that, you can't worry about what other people are, you know, thinking about you or even, you know, whether they're looking down on themselves, because you can't even think about that. You just have to go out and do what makes you happy. And if you prove it to the people in your life that it's making you happy after a certain amount of time, then they'll respect that no matter how old fashioned they are, you know? So I just leave the house, get rid of the stress, and also burn off some of the green bean casserole while I'm at it.
Is there anything in our small closet space of New York, like the New York apartments, you can do at home fitness wise, like using beer cans to barbells or something?
You could, I mean, you could do Russian twists with a whiskey bottle. I've done, that's actually, there's a picture of me doing that in my book.
What is a Russian twist?
A Russian twist is when you're like in a crunch position and you just hold it, but you rotate from left to right. You're working on the outer sides of your core.
The love handles?
They're called obliques, but the love handles. But more so even all the way up towards your chest, even on the left and right side. But it's, you know, I wouldn't recommend that. It's kind of hysterical, you know, if your family's watching. But push-ups are the ultimate workout. They really are. If you can do like a set of push-ups here and there throughout the day on a daily basis, you will be shredded. There's nothing, and you don't need anything at all. All you need is a floor.
What if for the ladies out there? I mean, what if we want to look delicate but fit? Like, what's a great staple exercise?
Delicate. I would say the push-ups once again, but you could do them from your knees. It's a good way, especially if you can't do a push-up. You know, a lot of people can't do one push-up, and I forget about that sometimes. I was that same guy, and they're hard. You got to keep up on it because they are really difficult, which I think is, once again, why they're so good for you. But a push-ups, even for girls, can I say chicks? For girls, they're going to make you look, they're going to tone up your arms. And girls, I get a lot of questions about that from women, actually, about how do I tone up the bottom of my arm? You know, because especially the older you get, it seems like it just kind of sags.
The lunch lady.
The lunch lady. That's great. Yeah. The shake, exactly. And push-ups will sort that right out. It's totally sorted right out because you're working mostly your tricep and your chest. And of course, for women, the chest is a weird situation, but because a lot of women are afraid to work out their chest for whatever reason. They think it's going to change the way their good things look, but don't be afraid. Push-ups and pull-ups too. If you can get yourself, you can go to Modell's or wherever and get yourself a pull-up bar for like $28-$25.
I thought you were going to say a push-up bra. It's like, you could
push-up
do that
bra. Yeah. Well, then you don't even need to work out, but
right. You, not to change the subject, but you chose the commercial break song. You're really into metal.
Oh, yeah.
And what's a good metal song for the holidays?
Metal song for the holidays. Well, Twisted Sister has a holiday album, which is good. Other than that, I couldn't really name anything off the top of my head. Chuck Berry has, I mean, that's old rock and roll, but without him, we wouldn't have metal. You know, it's just evolved over the years. I would say the Twisted Sister holiday album. It's definitely cheesy to the hilt, but metal in general is cheesy. I mean, they're wearing their sister's makeup, for Christ's sake, so of course it's cheesy. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun. So check out the Twisted Sister Christmas album.
You seem like, I mean, you could fit in the 80s rock band vibes if we could go back in time. And, you know, they were all pretty fit as well. Like there was no room for fat dudes. Like Bismarck Key would not, if he wanted to do metal, like there was no place for him.
Yeah, you definitely had to be shredded. I feel like, well, I do feel like I was born in the wrong decade because I'm such a metal. I'm not necessarily all metal. I'm just a music kind of a nerd in general. It's just that I'm so wrapped up in music and the whole world of music and especially rock and roll. And it's just I'm so educated on it that I have been able to narrow down what I like to a science. And 80s is not necessarily my only thing. I really dig the 80s because it's always a party. All those bands, they're party music, rock and roll. And you're right. Every single one of them seems like was shredded pretty much. Even like the bass player in the random band that you know, like Rhino Bucket that you haven't heard for, nobody's heard that name for 20 years unless you listen to my radio show on Sirius. But every guy in every one of those bands was shredded. And honestly, I don't know how they did it because the reputation, of course, is that they were partying more than I do. I don't do drugs at all, really. And these guys were out, you know, wrecking their cars and shit every night. So I don't know how they did it. I think a lot of it has to do with genetics. I'm just going to chalk it up to genetics and say that I'm jealous and I wish I had that going on for me.
I feel like every time I watch a metal video, it's like watching magicians. Like they'll sort of start shredding their guitar and suddenly a car explodes or like hot chicks are in a factory, but they're far away.
Yeah, but you know what? That was real. That was their lives.
That happened.
Yeah, they were blowing up cars, not on purpose necessarily, but they were blowing up cars and there was definitely chicks everywhere you went. And now, I honestly don't want to like degrade my or like make myself feel... I don't know, but it seems like metal has become it's definitely passé to the point where chicks look at me and they don't understand. Like, so obviously there's a certain amount of like, wow, where did this guy come from or whatever, because I have this crazy look to me. But metal needs to make a comeback, and I'm doing what I can to make that happen, because it seems to me like everybody walking around in a goddamn uniform, everybody looks the same. And I'm here to tell you that you don't have to look the same. You can wake up tomorrow and decide that you want to grow your hair long and just do it, because Luke's here and I love you, man. I love you, so we can be long-haired brothers together.
Or sisters.
Absolutely.
Your hair's a little shorter than mine.
Our hair's very similar.
It's similar, but blonde versus
I use
brunette.
More products. Yeah. Except for today, I rode my Harley here, so I have helmet hair, but yeah.
We unfortunately have to wrap things up, but do you have any last tips for our listeners out there for the holidays, how to keep things?
You should pre-order my book. Is it bad to plug the book? I have a book coming out March 13th, but it's on every website right now. You can get it cheap, $16 for the hardcover. There's actually a chapter in the book about holiday eating.
What is the book called?
The Drunk Diet. Mm-hmm. And I have a website of the same name. I've had 1.2 million hits since June 2010. The book's called The Drunk Diet. It'll be nationwide March 13th, and there literally is a chapter about holiday eating in the book, which I might have already told you all about it right now, but there's plenty more chapters. And other than that, just don't let your parents and your family drive you crazy to the point where you're going to wake up on in January and have to go lose 30 pounds. It's not worth it.
Absolutely. Well, to our listeners out there, good luck with the Battle of the Bulge this month. Thank you, Luke Carl, for coming on the show. And if you want to learn more about Luke, you can go to thedrunkdiet.com. You're on Twitter. Is it
Twitter? Yeah, at Luke Carl. It's Luke with a C-L-U-C-C-A-R-L.
As well as Hair Nation on Sirius Radio.
Yeah, Monday through Friday, Hair Nation, 6 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. I'm on 5 days a week playing all the best 80s metal.
There you have it. Thanks to everybody at Heritage Radio Network. Thanks to Carlos Salguero, Jack Inslee, the rest of the crew at Heritage, and Roberta's Restaurant. I'm Helen Holliman. Tune in next week for another episode of You Look Hungry.
Let's go out to eat and get some meat. Turkey and jam, macaroni and ham. Say, do you like steak? I can surely make.